Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week, in our study of 2 Timothy chapter 1, we were talking about how important it is for Christians to allow God to have full control of their life. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Isn't it interesting? We live in a day here in America where people put, well, stay-home mother is a second-hand woman, is a second-hand profession, is a second-hand whatever. Well, ladies, we see the importance of motherhood because it affected the next 2,000 years of history because they were faithful in what they did. You see, there are glamour jobs in this world today. A lady can be the Secretary of State. A lady can head up a great company and be a CEO. But my friend, whether ladies can do that or not, that is secondary. More important than what they do is what the mother does. And for an example, let's just say that a lady is the CEO of General Motors. And she can do some good things that maybe 50 years from now they'll laugh about how seemingly cavemanish that it was, that it was so far behind technologically and maybe in other ways, and they just look back at that and laugh at those times. You know what? Nobody's had to laugh at 1st or 2nd Timothy. It's been strong, it's been true down through the years. It's the Word of God and the life of Timothy. It made a difference, and my friend, mothers were used of God to make a difference in Timothy's life. I think of Lot, who lived with his uncle Abraham. Now, most of what we read about Lot makes us think of a man who had his eyes on the world and he lived worldly. We think of his daughters getting him drunk by those two daughters. He had two illegitimate sons, Ammon and Moab. And even though it was hard to get him out of Sodom, I mean, the angels drug him out. And although he had not influenced some of his own family that they might be saved out of Sodom, Abraham asked the Lord, "Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked?" So we're being told that even though all those failures and all those bad things in Lot's life, He was still a righteous man. Now, Lot limited God, and we need to understand that. We have an unlimited God. And yet, in some ways, you might say we put shackles upon him. You say, well, how is that? Well, think of it. We cannot prevent him from managing the stars around us. But we can prevent him from managing the soul within us. It seems as if we put God in a neat little box so he won't interfere with the way we live our lives. We want to think outside of God's box and live in our own little box. We draw a boundary line between what we want and what is God's word and will. There are just places where we don't want God to pass that line. Think of it. God hangs the planets in outer space, but he has a difficult time managing the human heart because of our resistance. Now, God is not restricted in himself, but he is restricted in us because he's given us a free will. That's what Israel did when we look at Psalm 78:41. Yea, they turned back and tested God. They limited the Holy One of Israel, Psalm 78:41 says. What a terrible thing that is. My friend, you can limit God in your life, and He wants to use you and be powerful in your life, and yet so often we're just the opposite. Lot may have developed a spirit of resistance against the Holy Spirit of God concerning his worldliness. And so Lot got outside the box. He got outside the box of the local church, so to speak. He got outside the box of the Bible and decided that he was going to step out into a big outside-the-box world. Well, he stepped right into the world's box is what he stepped into. He's in, still in a box, just doesn't know it. Kind of like people today say, think outside the box. You can't have that kind of music in church. You can't use that Bible in church. You can't do this in church. And they act like this is some new kind of a thought. You know, that thought was back there in Lot's day, back in Genesis. See, it's not new. Satan just gives it new words. But, you see, people, when they begin to harden themselves against God, they become very ignorant of spiritual things because their heart cannot perceive spiritual things. And so they do more destruction to themselves by following these secular ways, and they turn to the arm of flesh instead of trusting the Word of God. Oh, what a shame that is. Those folks oftentimes are their own worst enemies. Now, we look at Abraham. Abraham trained Lot in the way he should go. And I believe that that power of conviction never left him. But by free will, he resisted it, and he vexed his righteous soul, the Bible tells us, every day. He vexed it, is what we're told in 2 Peter chapter 2. That is, that he troubled his righteous soul as those things were going on about him. Now, isn't it interesting? God said of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 that he would instruct his children after him and his progeny and his house, and he did. Yet we find those children in that house made a lot of problems. They caused a lot of sin and did a lot of sin. We live in a day where we blame parents and don't allow people to accept personal responsibility. I've heard people teach about David. They said because of David's sin with Bathsheba, the next kings of Israel were bad and the other kings that followed and so many bad things because it was David's fault. Well, that is an interesting theory, but let me tell you something. That is a theory born in a religion of not accepting responsibility. It's a blame religion, but it's not a biblical religion. You see, people want to say, well, David's at fault for all of this. The kingdom would have never been like that. That is baloney. Who can we blame for what David did with Bathsheba? Is there somebody else that we can blame? Maybe there was someone in his family line. He comes out of the line of Judah. Remember Judah? The sexual sin that he committed with one that he thought was a harlot. And so if we want to go back, we can say, well, David couldn't help it because of his great-great-grandfather down the line of Judah. And Judah said, well, remember what my dad Jacob did? And Jacob says, yeah, you remember what Abraham did with Hagar? And Abraham goes back to Adam. Now, poor Adam doesn't have anybody else to turn to. But we like to play the blame game. And again, that is so doctrinally wrong. Unfortunately, there are even fundamental churches that are teaching that. And I found many times there's a Calvinistic connection there. And that ought to tell you right off the bat that that is filthy and that it is wrong. Now, David was a sinner. He did bad things, and he paid a penalty for it. The sword would never depart from his house. The baby died. He cannot build the temple. But understand, the others had a free will. They were not all of a sudden predestined to do the sins they did. Because that, I mean, if David's responsible for the bad kings after him, what about Asa? What about Hezekiah? What about Josiah? Because we see these guys weren't that way. And how could they not be that way if David was that way? But people like to blame David. I think of Daniel. Now, we know that in Daniel chapter 5, in the handwriting on the wall, he's called in and he talks to Belshazzar, who's now the king. He was the son or grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we could say, well, because of the way Nebuchadnezzar lived, Belshazzar went that way. Daniel asked him, says, and I believe Daniel was speaking under the power of the Holy Spirit, how else could have he interpreted the writing? But Daniel said, how is it you didn't learn from what happened to your father Nebuchadnezzar when he spent 7 years eating grass like an animal and just lost his kingdom for 7 years, and God was warning him? And you know the story, Belshazzar. Why didn't you learn from that? See, God holds us accountable. Don't grow up blaming others. Now, here's Timothy. We don't see anything about his dad being a godly man. Timothy grew up in Lystra. He's the son of a Jewish mother and a Gentile father. Lystra is a very superstitious and violent town. This is the town that Paul heals a man. The people then try to worship him, and then later they stone him, and they leave him for dead. Yet, he goes back to the same town and preaches. I tell you what, Paul had some holy gumption and some holy courage. So, with that thought in mind, we go to Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, where we read of Paul meeting Timothy. It says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. Now, this is after chapter 14, when he first got stoned in Lystra. Now, it's in chapter 16. He's back visiting again. He came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Now again, Timothy did not have a father image that was a godly father image to build up a godly heritage in his upbringing. But the power is not in the dad, although the father is the head of the home and should have set that example and has a personal responsibility for God to do that. Now, was his dad saved? We're not told that he was. We're not told that he wasn't.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.